Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
We are all entitled to sexual health, just as much as physical and mental health.
We want to make it easier for folks to find resources. However they engage with us, there's no wrong door.
So it's important that people are able to get access to care that is affirming.
Talking about what their sex life is, about their concerns, and to make sure they're healthy.
Do it for them. Do it for you, Montgomery County.
Your sexual health matters. Visit doitforumc.org.
Hey everyone, Scott Hansen here from NFL Red Zone. I hope you're checking out 1 hour of 5 Yard Rush, one of the best podcasts on NFL football in the UK.
Welcome, Rush Nation, to the Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast with me, Mark Ferguson. The more observant of you will realise that these are not the dulcet tones of Nick Owen. Sadly, he can't record the pod this week. So the powers that be at 5 Yard Rush Towers have given me the keys to the pod. My first act was to find a special guest, and I'm absolutely thrilled to say I've been joined by David Langley, better known as Real Poker Kid on DraftKings. He was part of the Fantasy Ashes winning team and also the Welsh World Cup fantasy team, and also happens to be a very successful NFL DFS player. Hello, David. How are you doing?
Hello, Mark. Yeah, I'm good, thank you. I'm glad to be joining. Hopefully, I can give some insight today, and hopefully help, help some viewers win some contests.
Great. Let everybody know, if you could, how you got into DFS in the first place.
Right, yeah. So, mate, I've been playing poker for 15 years. I played online throughout like all the Poker Stars days, and I played like live cash and stuff. So that's kind of how I got into it, with the like DraftKings boom in the poker. It was all sponsored back in the day. So that's kind of how I knew about DraftKings, and I was just waiting for it to come to the UK, really. So I've been playing really DFS since it came to the UK on day one, kind of thing. I've been into like playing fantasy sports since I was really young. I've played the fantasy leagues season long. I've been playing like the NFL season long fantasy games probably since like 2010, so maybe 10 years. And I've always just really loved the fantasy concept. So yeah, that's how I got into DFS. And yeah, I've been playing ever since I came to the UK.
Wow. More experienced than a lot of UK players then, I reckon. how's this season gone for you so far?
This season hasn't been great, like, not going to lie. I've just mainly been focusing on the GPPs, the Millionaire Makers, just trying to get that big score. I did put a lot of time and effort into the best balls at the start of the season, because that was a new concept and based on the season-long fantasy, which I was obviously more adept, and I've been doing that for longer, so I thought I would give that a go. And I was happy with my draft process. I was I got so many players right kind of thing, but it's just you need to be perfect for week 14 and week 15. And I was really unlucky. One of my best lineups on week 14, I didn't have a quarterback. Drew Brees, Carson Wentz, and Haskins all lost their job. So I had a monster team without the quarterback. So that was a bit brutal. And that's just been the sum up my year. It just hasn't gone my way. But we'll keep trying and hopefully we'll get that big score.
I think I'm going to end up about literally winning about $1 on best balls yeah. after all the time and effort
I know.
Put into them. About $1.
It's brutal. I got a couple through to the next stage, but I didn't get anything with the week 15, which is set, but never mind.
Nah. Yeah, well, it's I definitely best balls are great. I think a great way for season long players to get into DFS. However, if your skill is in the waiver wire, then it's absolutely pointless for you because there isn't one, and it's just it's almost like the fittest team wins, isn't it?
Yeah, I think everyone in fantasy, I think waiver wire is just a bit tedious. Like I think everyone is happy just to get out of the way a lot of the time and just pick your teams and that to be done with it. So yeah, I know exactly what you mean. But yeah, that's kind of how I got into it, was season long transitioning into DFS. So yeah, no, I definitely recommend it.
Great. So week 15 wasn't really. I think we've already discussed this. You build your lineups a very similar way to me, correlated lineups, leverage plays, et cetera, et cetera. And week 15 definitely wasn't the week for players like us. There were far too many high scoring players, which basically counteracts any sort of leverage or correlation. Part of that was it was 13 game slate, I think, as well, which didn't help.
Yeah, it was a really big slate. Just looking at the winning Millimaker lineup, it was Jalen Hurts was the quarterback, 5,900. Montgomery and Swift, Ridley, Corey Davis, Marvin Jones, Logan Thomas, Darnell Mooney and the Seahawks. So it wasn't really a lot of correlation there. You got, again, the Detroit running back and the Detroit wide receiver without the quarterback. So, yes, it was a really weird one.
Yeah, if you got 237,000 entries on weeks like this, those sort of random where somebody just happens to pick the 9 best plays,
yeah.
Is going to win. And it's happened a few times in the last sort of 5 or 6 weeks. It's very hard to do over the long term, though, which is kind of what I always, I was trying to preach about. But anyway, there you go. The good news is week 16 is only 10 games, so that should help players like us and people who listen to our podcast, hopefully.
Definitely.
So let's start with quarterback. So my expensive pick here is Deshaun Watson at 7.6K for Houston.
Yeah.
He's not got much to play for particularly, but he is in a dome in December, which I like, and we might talk about that a little bit later. All of the other pieces of the Houston offense are really good value, so I really love the stacking options with him. And the other side of it is Bengals have the worst pass rush as well in the league, so he should have plenty of time to find open receivers. My value play here is Matt Ryan at 5.8K. I don't really like the value very much. I know you like somebody even cheaper than that, but I'm not really a big fan of the value this week. And even though I've chosen Matt Ryan, I'm still a little bit dubious on him because he's playing outside in Arrowhead in December. All of his success pretty this year has always been indoors. In theory, he'll be playing catch-up because everybody expects the Chiefs to run out to a big lead. The other thing I like about Matt Ryan is we always know where he's throwing the ball, so stacking's relatively easy. So those are two quarterbacks I'm definitely looking at for my lineups. What about yourself?
Yeah, just to touch on yours, I like Deshaun Watson. I mean, he's just a fabulous player and he just always seems to put up points. So, yeah, and there's a couple of... like you said, he's got Cooks, Kiki Tukute, and Jordan Akins, who is a bit cheaper. Maybe we'll talk about him later. Matt Ryan, yeah. I mean, he's been disappointing for me this year when I played him. But, yeah, he's 5.8. And like you said, we know who his weapons are. Going into my QB picks. I do like to look back at previous previous winning lineups, try to analyze where other people have had success, really, and then try to learn from that. And the last 3 weeks, the winning QBs has been Jalen Hurts, Derek Carr, and Derek Carr. Derek Carr was in there twice, and the prices has been 5,900, 6,000, and 5,800. So, like, we've kind of been seeing these QBs can get points at their low price, and then it enables you to spend higher with other positions. So that's kind of where I've been kind of looking. Where I feel like there's significant value is at 6,100 for Baker Mayfield. He's just playing really well. I think he's underpriced. His last three games, he's averaging 29 points, and he's playing the New York Jets, who have been just generally really bad. I'm looking back to one of the previous winning lineups. It was week 13. Derek Carr was the winning QB. He played the Jets, and obviously Darren Waller went nuts. And I'll go into one of my other favourite plays a bit later on. But yeah, I really like Baker. I just think he's got upside. And like I said, averaging 29 points over the last three games. I'm in on Baker. He's playing really well. My other similar lower value play that I really like is Andy Dalton. He's playing Philadelphia. Jalen Hurts was the leading quarterback last week, but obviously they played Arizona, and DeAndre Hopkins and Kyler Murray combined for 72 points against the Eagles. I think this is going to be a relatively high-scoring game. It's basically a playoff game for both teams. They both need to win it to stand any chance of making the playoffs. It's the second highest projected scoring game on the slate. And Andy Dalton, he scored over 15 points in his last three games. Obviously, it's not kind of what we're looking for, but I really think he can leap up to close to 25-30 in this game. And yeah, I'll go into a couple of weapons that I like pairing him with later. But yeah, I'm in on Baker Mayfield and Andy Dalton this week.
Funnily enough, I have pieces of both those offenses later on in our picks. Yeah. Baker Mayfield, I particularly like. I was do our picks now. I was tempted to put him instead of Deshaun Watson, but I'll definitely have pieces of him. They're on fire after those. Was it three games out of four where they were in the world's worst weather conditions, which really brought everybody's figures down for the Browns. That was they're just a team on the way up, and also looking pretty dangerous for the playoffs as well, I reckon.
Yeah, no, they're a really good team because they've got obviously the best run. They've got Chubb and Hunt. They've got two quality running backs there, which just seems that Baker's just balling. He's playing really well. They got a good solid offense. So yeah, and the Jets are not too bad against the run. Like, they're not great as a team in general, but I feel like Baker will be able to get them and put up some really decent points.
I think also the Jets a little bit like the Jaguars the last sort of like 4 or 5 weeks. I think they'll keep it more competitive than people expect for a team
well,
such a low
total. Yeah, well, obviously it was a massive shock against the Rams last week. Basically costing themselves Trevor Lawrence, which is just seems crazy. But it didn't seem like any of the players cared about that. Obviously, last week they were just trying to get a win. But I agree. I think they are playing tough. Like I said, they're not a great team, but I think that could be a nice scoring game for Baker.
We're not allowed to mention that Rams loss last week because Nick Owen, who's the usual co-host, is a Rams fan. We're not allowed to mention that. So, you know, this bit will get taken out in editing. I don't know. Poor Nick. Fingers crossed he won't listen. Anyway, on to running backs. So who do you like at the running back position?
Well, I like your pick, so we'll come to. I talked a bit about this earlier, and I'll give some points on why I like your guys. But there's two that I really like as well. Austin Ekeler. I think he's a fab player. Obviously, he's pass catching running back. In his four games back from injuries, he's had a staggering 38 targets off Justin Herbert. That's in this DraftKings PPR format is just it's just so valuable. You get a point for every catch. So yeah, I'm a big Austin Eckler fan. He's up against the Denver team. Oh, and not great. I think two games ago, Mike Davis scored 26.8 points against them. And last week, Buffalo, Devin Singletary and Zach Moss both put up points. I think Singletary had 17 points and Moss put up 81 yards rushing. So the only thing last week, Eckler only had 60% of the snaps again, 60% of snap count against the Raiders, and he only scored 11 points, which I was a bit disappointed with. But in his four games back, he put up double-digit points every game. He's 7,600, so like we do need him to score over 20 points here, really, to make value. But I think he will do that. So, yeah, I like Austin Eckler. My second play is Le'Veon Bell. He's with Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be out. So you get Bell at 5.8, which for Le'Veon Bell is in the bell cow role is just a steal. Is Kansas City playing in the highest projected game on the slate. He's just going to have all the red zone opportunities. He's involved in the passing game. He's Le'Veon Bell. Obviously, he didn't have much luck with the Jets, but who does? So, yeah, they're my two guys, Eckler and Bell this week. It was a third guy we just wanted to mention, David Johnson for Houston. This is dependent on Duke Johnson being out because he had 11 targets last week and he caught all of them, 11 receptions. And if he is the only really available running back against in that game, I think at 6.1, I think he's a viable play as well.
Yeah, I've in my article I do for the weekend games, he's in there because I like that game as a whole, as a game to stack. It's a game without much for either team to play with, as I said about Deshaun Watson, but there's an obvious way to stack that game to me. But I'll just come on to that in a second. So my picks, and I slightly stolen your 1-2. I know that because before we record this, we sort of know who we've picked, etc. And it just happened that I filled in the document first. So my first play is David Montgomery. This is really a no-brainer, is it? So 5-yard rush Murph said about 4 or 5 weeks ago to anybody doing season long, get David Montgomery. His strength of schedule is so weak, you know, coming up towards the end of the season. And it had been really hard up until that point, and you'll never get him at lower value. And he was 100% right, because since he said that, he's been RB1, literally the RB1. So now he's up against the Jags, who give up the fourth most points to the position. He's the bell cow. Can't see any reason for that to change. I think it'll be chalky, but I think this is one of those cases where it's really good chalk. My second running back, cheap value play, is Giovanni Bernard at 4.8K. So, I mean, it's crazy, isn't it? 2 weeks ago, he had his first fumble in like 800 carries or something ridiculous like that, and he got benched after 3 carries. I had a lot of him that week. Then last week, he suddenly gets 25 carries and a target against the Texans. And he's up against the Texans this week. And they give up the second most points to the position. So pretty much, if you expect him to get the same sort of usage, then he's got to be a lock at 4.8K, I would imagine. Yeah, these are your 1-2 as well, I do believe, for this week.
Yeah, so Gio Bernard, yeah, like you said, 4,800. I mean, it's just an absolute steal. Obviously, I believe these prices would have been out before the Monday night game versus the Steelers.
Yeah.
And in that game, he had 68% of the snaps. He had 26 touches, and he turned that into 22 points. And like you said, that's against the Steelers team. This week he's playing the Texans team, who are just abysmal against the run. Gio's always been a pass-catching back. And if he's getting 70% of the snaps and getting all them touches, yeah, I mean, he's just got to be a lot. You just put him in. So, yeah, I like Gio. I also like David Montgomery, like you said. He's been in the last two Millionaire Makers winning lineups. Last week, he was 7,000. He was only 5.6% owned. He scored 32 points.
That's crazy, isn't it? That is absolutely crazy. 5.6%.
The week before, he was 6,500 and he was 22.9% owned. So he's been in the last two Millionaire Maker lineups. And the week before, he actually wasn't in the winning lineup, but he was the RB1 on the slate and he was 5,500. The only reason he wasn't was because it was the week that Derek Carr and Waller scored 50 points and Corey Davis scored 40 points, and that they was in the winning lineup. But he was the highest RB on the slate at 5,500, and he wasn't in the Millionaire Maker lineup. So yeah, he's just been a beast. He scored 27 points in his last four, at least 27 points in his last four games on DraftKings. And in his last game, he had 88% of the snaps, and he had 34 touches, which is just insane. And like you said, he's playing against the Jaguars. He's going to get all the opportunities, all the touches, all the red zone looks. So, yeah, I think if this was like Christian McCaffrey putting up these numbers last year, you'd be looking at 10,000 at least for him off the back of these performances. But it's because it's David Montgomery. He's still at a relatively acceptable price. I think there's every chance he'll be in the Millionaire winning lineup again, to be honest. So yeah, I like David Montgomery. I think that's a great pick.
Obviously, because of the way I like to play the game, I will definitely have some lineups with Trubisky and Robinson instead. Because obviously I expect Montgomery to be fairly chalky.
Yeah, I agree. It wouldn't surprise me if... I think, yeah, it was in week 14. Montgomery and Robinson was both in the Millionaire Making lineup, but Trubisky wasn't the quarterback. Like, I really wouldn't surprise me if, like... Trubisky, Montgomery or Robinson somehow going into a kind of winning lineup. Robinson have just been he's so dominant this year. His stats, I think he's only one game all season. He hasn't put it double digits. So yeah, he's been fab as well. Like you said, I like Montgomery, but I totally agree. I think some Trubisky Robinson lineups, and even last week Darnell Mooney was in the winning lineup. I think that's a good game to attack. I think so many of them players are underpriced, just like because it's Chicago, like that's why.
Yeah, and this is the sort of time of the season historically where you get situations like this where you can attack these games and stuff. So,
yeah,
but we'll come to that a little bit later. So, moving on to wide receiver, I have some plays which actually link in with, again, your quarterback choices. My probably top play is Jarvis Landry at 6.9%. He's playing against the Jets. I mean, you know, you could probably end your analysis there, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
Targets have been fairly consistent this year. They're fantastic, actually. And the Browns' offense is looking pretty potent at the moment, which is just the right time of year. So at 6.9K, it seems a really good price comparison with some of the other receivers. I also like CD Lamb, linked with your Andy Dalton pick. People who just game log watch will look at last week's score and they'll be slightly deceived by it because six of those points came from that touchdown return on an onside kick. However, it's still a good matchup against Philly. They're, you know, it's like you said earlier, it's a game they both need to. It's sort of like a playoff game for both of them. And that usually brings out the best in a lot of teams. So I expect them to receive plenty of targets. Moving on, you mentioned, when we were talking about Houston, you mentioned Cooks, Akuti and Akins. But actually, my favourite player of the lot is Chad Hansen at 4.4K.
Yeah, I knew you were, Dan.
I know. He's been in every successful lineup I've had for the last two weeks, wherever he's been in there. So I've almost got an emotional attachment to him now. The same way as I have an emotional disattachment to Jordan Akins, I have an emotional attachment to Chad Hansen. However, there is some reasons to like him. You know, it's against Cincinnati. Cooks came back last week and his targets were down, but that's only 1 week. You know, statistically, that doesn't mean a thing particularly, so I'm happy to take a chance with them again. And then this player I'm really just so excited about his price at 3.2K is Jalen Guyton. He has so much big play ability. His average at the target is over 16 yards. And that's at the top of the sort of viable fantasy receivers. If you look at people who've had like 50 targets and stuff, it's in the top 10 easily. He can pretty much pay off his value on one play at 3.2K. And, you know, Chargers are a very, very exciting offense, generally speaking. So at 3.2K, gosh, I think I might just lock him in to most of my lineups, to be honest. My tournament lineups anyway, not cash.
Yeah, I like him. I like him as a football player. He's really exciting when you watch him. Like you said, he is really fast and he can just break away off the defense and just one play and then that's lights out. He is 3,200. And we've seen, like, in the last 3 weeks of the millionaire winning lineups, the flex position is, it always seems to be now that, like, last 3 weeks anyway consecutively has been Mooney, which was 3,900 in the flex, Tyler Eifert 3,100 in the flex, and Robert Tonyan 3,700. It just seems like that the strategy is you just pay up for them big running backs, wide receivers, and you just need to find the value in the flex. That seems to have been working. Well, obviously, for the last 3 weeks, it's worked for the winner. So, yeah, I definitely think he's got big playability. Keenan Allen's going to be back this week, probably, and maybe Mike Williams. And I know Johnson had a good game last week as well. So they have got lots of weapons and obviously Eckler. But yeah, like you said, it only takes one play with him. So yeah, I like Landry, obviously, to go with Baker. Like you said, his targets have been there. In the last four games, he's averaging 9.5 targets a game, which is just fab. And over the season, he's got a 24% target share of the whole team. So yeah, Jarvis is a beast. I've always been a Jarvis fan. And CD's electric. And yeah, like you said, he goes with my Andy Dalton. So going into my wide receiver plays, I've got Cooper Kupp. I've kind of just been waiting for him to go nuts all year and it kind of just hasn't worked out, but I feel like this is a nice spot. Again, Rams versus Seahawks this week is a lot riding on this game, especially to win the division. Rams need to win. They've obviously got a fantastic defense played up against Russ, DK. So yeah, I expect this to be a good competitive scoring game. And Seahawks secondary haven't been great this year, to be fair. I really think Cooper Kupp at 6.6 can have a big game. In his last three games, he's had 19 targets and he's made 18 catches, so only one drop. So yeah, basically, I've got a feeling Cooper Kupp is going to go off at 6.6. And Robert Woods is 7K as well. They basically the two main weapons for the Rams, so either one of them would go nuts. But I fancy Cooper Kupp for this one.
Is that the first time this season where Robert Woods is more expensive than Cooper Kupp?
It's been relatively close. I know last week, I think, was Cooper Kupp 6.8 and Woods may have been 7? I'm not sure off the top of my head. But yeah, it's been relatively close all year. I always lean towards Cooper Kupp, and this year, for the most part, Woods has been outscoring him. But I really feel like Cooper Kupp is going to go nuts this week. I can feel it. My second one is Amari Cooper. Again, it ties into my Andy Dalton play. He's got a really good relationship with Dalton since Dalton have kind of took over. They put up some good games. Amari's been playing well. He had his first bad game on the weekend, which I'm hoping will reduce ownership. And Amari's kind of got a love-hate relationship with the DFS world. People either love him or they hate him. Because that's the good thing when you're trying to win a millionaire maker or the big tournaments is you need the guys with high ceilings who are just going to go nuts on any given week. And Amari Cooper is one of them guys. He can go off at any point. Before his dad on the weekend, he had five consecutive double-digit games. He's, he's, like I said, he's been playing well. And we saw what DeAndre Hopkins did to that Philly secondary last week. I'm not saying he's DeAndre Hopkins, but he's a fab player, Amari Cooper. I don't need to really go into how good he is. So I think he could definitely go off. My third one is Russell Gage for Atlanta. They are playing, obviously, Kansas City, projected the highest game on the slate. Julio, I don't believe, is expected to play, but even if he was, Gage has been getting good looks. He's had 25 targets in his last three games. He's had over 15 points in his last three games. Matt Ryan trusts him. He always looks for him. We know Calvin Ridley is the speedster. The honey badger for Kansas is probably going to at least be looking at Ridley. Hopefully we'll leave gaps for Gage. I expect him to go over that 15 points again, and I really like the value at 5.1. We know the game script, really. We think the Falcons are going to be chasing the game, throwing the football. Kansas City's obviously an awesome team. I really like Russell Gage. And then my final wide receivers, basically, it's kind of a bring back with my Baker, Landry, and I'll go into my tight end in a bit. But is for the Jets, Perriman or Mims? I'm not quite sure. I'm leaning towards Perriman at 3.9, but Mims is 3.6. Again, we talked about how the Jets, they're not a great team. We expect Cleveland to win this game and put up points. But in saying that, it means the Jets are going to be chasing the game. We expect them to be throwing. Perriman, at the end of last year with the Bucks and in spells for the Jets, he's capable of putting these big, big performances up. He's going to get the targets. I mean, at 3.9, it's just a bargain, I think. And even Denzel Mims, he's been getting loads and loads of targets. And yeah, I think both of them could see them being in the winning lineup. And I do love the, running it back if we do go with Baker and a receiver for the Browns, we run it back with a Jets player. I like that correlation. It was working out earlier in the season. It hasn't really been in any of the winning lineups lately, but I will stick to my process. I try and just believe in what I'm doing. So yeah, I'll run it back with one of them Jets wide receivers, and yeah, that's my pick.
I've been picking Perriman and Mims for 6 or 7 weeks. I've been hurt too much.
Yeah.
It's like Jordan Akins, just been hurt too much. And which, you say, when we had Murph on the pod a few weeks ago, he said about this is Perriman season.
Yeah.
You know, everybody talks about Dehember and Derrick Henry and all that, but actually Perriman, it was Perriman season. It just doesn't have such a good name.
Well, to be fair, it was kind of Perriman season last year. He finished it like an absolute storm with the Bucks. He was just fab. But yeah, I know exactly what he means. He was hoping that it would kind of continue, but it's just hard with the Jets. I mean, the Jets are not a great team. I mean, Perriman had a breakout game against the Patriots. He had 5 for 101 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had 30 DraftKings points. And then in his 2 games after that, he had double digits against the Chargers and Miami. But the last 3 has been kind of disappointing. But I feel like the reasons that I'm attacking this game with Baker and Landry, I feel like this game lends to being high scoring. And the Cleveland Browns, I mean, Corey Davis went crazy. He was in the winning lineup a couple of weeks ago. He went crazy against the Browns. I think he put up 11 catches, 180 yards or something. So I think I can definitely see one of these Jets wide receivers going over and above their price point. I mean, they're 3.9 and 3.6K. I think they both could. I think they both could meet value. But I'm leaning towards Perriman. I tend to do that. I go towards the wide receiver one in these situations. I expect him to get the targets. I like that play.
Yeah, this is one of those classic end of season style games.
Yeah,
garbage time. Does something you don't expect. Yeah,
that's what we look for.
especially with the Jets now having, you know, it's almost like they haven't got anything not to play for anymore.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean, because the Jags are going to lose the last two games. So the Jets have got nothing not to play for. And so they might suddenly feel, I don't know, just the, you know, all the shackles are off, they're relaxed and stuff, and they score a lot of points. However, Sam said that I will still struggle to play them. However, I love the Cooper and Gage picks. I was on Gage last week as well at his price, and I don't think it's gone up enough when you look at his targets, especially with people around him. It's crazy.
Yeah, I totally agree.
He's gone up by 400K or something.
And especially in this matchup as well, because like, we fully expect Atlanta to be throwing. We know Ridley's the top dog, and they're going to obviously, whether they'll double coverage him or like, Gage is just in that nice space in the middle of the field. Ryan's always looking for him. He trusts him. He's like I said, he's got 15 points at least in his last three games. So yeah, I think at 5.1 is just an absolute steal.
Do you think Ridley's too expensive now at 8.5K?
I just don't like the matchup against the Chiefs for Ridley, to be honest. When you look at the, let's have a look. Ridley is the second highest valued wide receiver on the slate. Obviously, we've got Tyreek Hill is the highest. It's just no way in the world I'm playing Ridley over Tyreek. Tyreek, I love the matchup for him. And Kelsey, obviously, them two are just balling out. DK Metcalf is the third highest. I don't love that. I'm avoiding DK this week. He's against Jalen Ramsey. I'm not interested in that. Like, I would prefer Allen Robinson over Ridley. I would prefer Woods over Ridley with the discount. I mean, Woods is 1,500 cheaper than Ridley. I'm just not willing to pay 8,500 for Ridley. So, yeah, to answer your question, I think, he's just too expensive for me this week.
I think the pricing is great this week on DraftKings, and the fact that you have to make these decisions.
Yeah.
Like you said, you can't play all the top players, and I just think they've got the pricing completely right this week. But there you go. Makes it more fun, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll move on to tight end, which historically we don't spend masses of time talking about, because the tight end position this year has been a shambles. If you don't play Kelsey, then, you know, who do you play? And even last week, Kelsey didn't really hit value. He was the second highest tight end, but it was still very disappointing.
Yeah.
So who have you gone for a tight end position?
I really like Austin Hooper for the Jets. This is kind of my main play with Baker. In his return last week, I think he missed week 14, returned in week 15. He had six targets and a touchdown. Baker Mayfield always looks for him. I think they got a fairly decent quarterback tight end relationship, but it's mainly attacking the Jets against tight ends. They've just been awful in their five games since the bye. Last week, Tyler Higbee had four catches for 67 yards and a touchdown. The week before, Will Disley, I mean, he's not hardly the top tight end, but yeah, even Will Disley had two for 23 and a touchdown. The week before, Waller went absolutely crazy for 13 catches, 200 yards and two touchdowns. Mike Gesicki went for 235 and a touchdown, and the week before, Hunter Henry was 4 for 48 and a touchdown. So they've allowed at least one touchdown in the last five games since the bye against tight end. They just leak in yards, leak in touchdowns. So yeah, I think Austin Hooper at 33.5 is just a bargain play. So just lock him in, I think.
Yeah, and the Jets are the worst. They give up the most points to the tight end position by, you know, almost 2 points. Which, when you're given, when talking about 18 points, that's quite a lot. So yes, I think that's a pretty safe bet. And actually, I hadn't really been considering him until you mentioned him, but now he's definitely on my list and he's going to be in my pool. For me, sort of linking in with the game script we were talking about a little bit earlier, I'm going with Dallas Goedert at 3.6K. Jalen Hurts, like most rookies, seems to feel pretty comfortable throwing to his tight ends. I think it was 15 targets between Goedert and Hurts last week. I think, I mean, it's funny, you picked a tight end at a similar price range to Goddard. I think if you're not going to pay the $8.5K for Kelsey, which is just really stretching it, because as much as Kelsey gets talked about like he's a wide receiver, he actually isn't in terms of his target. If you look at his average depth of targets, and he's really not a wide receiver in comparison with, say, at 8.5K, I'd rather play Calvin Ridley than Kelsey. Not necessarily in that matchup.
Yeah.
His matchup, but generally speaking, I'd rather play an 8.5K receiver than a tight end, even though it's Kelsey. It's an interesting one for me this week, tight end.
Yeah, the thing is with Kelsey this week, I agree in most parts, especially like Ridley usually has that just breakaway, like he can just completely destroy a slate, Calvin Ridley. We've seen him do it a couple of times where he can put up them big, big numbers. Like you say, Kelsey is usually like short catches, but in his last seven games, he's had eight or more catches, which is just phenomenal for a tight end. Seven straight games with eight or more catches. He's currently second in the league in receiving yards. He's aiming to be the, I think he's like 4 yards behind DeAndre Hopkins. So he can be the first ever tight end to win that. So that's something to look for. It wouldn't surprise me if Kelsey was in the winning lineup this week, I got to be honest. At 8,500, I could, because you can pay up for him at tight end, and even just put Austin Hooper in the flex, because that's been a successful strategy. Like we were saying earlier, with them flex, if you can just get that cheapy 3K option, that can definitely work. This week, I think I would prefer Kelsey over Ridley. I feel like the floor is just there for Kelsey. I fully expect him to put up big numbers. He's chasing all these records. I like Kelsey. I got to be honest this week.
I like it. You can't not like him.
Because
of his price, he's being priced like a wide receiver. I just use Ridley as an example here because he's the same price.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
For example, Ridley's got his average depth of target is 5 yards further than Kelsey. Kelsey's 8.5 and Ridley's 13.5. If I look at it in that respect, you can't really afford to pay for both Hill and Kelsey this week, I don't think, in one lineup.
Yeah, that's...
Well, you can, mathematically you can, but I just don't think it's viable. I think I'd rather play for Hill than Kelsey if that was the case.
Yeah, I probably agree. Again, we saw what Tyree did to the slate against the Tampa Bay. I mean, he can just completely destroy the slate. He put up 60 points against Tampa Bay. And when you look at this matchup, like, I am a little bit scared for Atlanta, the defensive backs, because he could burn them alive. We saw what Antonio Brown did on that winning play against Atlanta last week. He was two steps in front of the cornerback, and obviously Tyreek will be three steps in front of that AB. So it could be carnage. It really could for Tyreek this week. He could completely destroy it. I totally agree.
The other thing is about this game in particular, and it's good to be talking about it because it's the game with the highest implied total on the slate. However, this really could be a sort of 35-7 win to Kansas City, because Atlanta have done this so many times over the years where they're looking really good because they've had three home games out of four in the last, three out of four of their last home games being home in the dome. And then they go to somewhere like Arrowhead and they just do nothing. And you could really see that. So I'm not particularly saying I would pick Ridley over Kelsey. I'm just using him as an example of why Kelsey's price might be a tad too high for me. But we'll see. I have to have him in one of my lineups, I think. Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
I agree. I always get that worry with Kansas City that they can just completely blow an opposition out. I think they did it to Denver, didn't they? And it was quite a while back now, and then took all their starters off. When you're paying them price for them wide receivers and tight ends, you're just praying that they go off. But I agree. I have Tyreek's probably just ahead of Kelsey, but you are risking it. I feel like you'll be safe this week.
And you're another guy who likes correlated plays. I just think you have to, if you're going to correlate this game in any way, I personally think you have got to play Ryan as the quarterback, so that you can put Hill or Kelsey on the other side. I just
yeah.
Ryan and Gage. with
Ryan and Gage and run it back with one of them. Yeah. I like that. Or even like Le'Veon and one or the other Tyreek and Kelsey. And then you're just hoping that Le'Veon gets the touchdowns, really, like the maybe two rushing or something, and then your guy gets the two or three passing ones. But yeah, no, I definitely could see a way where that's in a winning lineup this week, 100%.
Because every week, about a quarter of my lineups traditionally will be Mahomes, Hill, and Kelsey as a starting point. But you just can't do it this week. Because
they're just priced out. And I've got to be honest, like over the season, I have been kind of going down this road, especially at QB, not so much at wide receiver and tight end, because I very rarely would fade Tyreek or Kelsey at any point. I usually would have some. But probably Mahomes, I haven't really, throughout the season, I haven't had too much Mahomes just because he's always so much more expensive. And we see with the winning lineups, like last week Jalen Hurts at 5900 put up 40 points, and we saw like Kyler last week was 7000, he put up close to 40 points as well. So I feel like with QB you can get them points, even though it's a bit riskier. I feel like you want to put Mahomes in because he's my safer bet. But we are trying to find the lower priced QBs who are just going to have that one good week, who are going to get us them big points. So that's kind of what I search for every week.
Yeah, there's no cheap running quarterbacks this week. Now this week it's only Hurts and Jackson, and they're 7 and 8K. So there's no value there in that respect. But running quarterbacks have been like the friends of DFS players this year, definitely.
Oh, definitely. Well, Josh Allen had a monster game. He wasn't on the big slate last week, was he? But Josh Allen has been fab this year.
He's my favourite non-Washington player in the league by a long, long way, Josh Allen. Love Josh Allen. He's so much fun to watch.
He's fab. He's a really good player. I wasn't sold on him when he came into the league, I got to be honest. I wasn't sure what, like, if he was going to be the real deal, but he's a fabulous player. He's turned out really good.
He's just so much fun, and I love the fact that he's showing the critics as well that he's a quality player and stuff, because he's got so much stick over his career, which has been unjustified in my view. There you go. Anyway, God, I think that's the longest we've ever talked about the tight end position. I've done quotes with my fingers there because we barely talked about tight end. Okay, moving on to my other favourite position, defence. I'm going to start off. I'm going with picking the Seahawks at 2.6K. Now, at the beginning of the season, we were targeting the Seahawks defence with wide receivers, etc. But they've really improved recently, and that's mainly due to gaining a pass rush. They've scored at least 9 fantasy points each of the last 4 weeks. Although, admittedly, those have been against poor offensive teams, but they have been racking up the sack total still. They are genuinely my favourite play. However, as I always say on this pod, I would never miss out on a skill position player to put in a defence. So I'm pretty sure I'm going to end up playing the Jets D at 2K in most of my lineups because they've done pretty well for me this year. Who do you like at defence, David?
The paying down at defence has, like you said, it's just seemed to have worked this week. You have got to take a bit of a chance, but I understand that. My favourite play, though, they're not a super cheap option. They're actually the seventh highest priced on DraftKings at 3,200, but it is the Indianapolis Colts. They're just playing really good defence. They've got some really good players on defence, Leonard, and a few others. They put up double digits in 3 consecutive games, and against good, like what you would consider, like they played Deshaun Watson twice. I know it's the Texans, but it's still Deshaun Watson. He's always dangerous. And Oakland Raiders, who we've seen have beat Derek Carr, has been in 2 of the last 3 millionaire makers winning lineups. So that's like decent offenses, and they put up double digits in each game. This week they're playing against Pittsburgh. The wheels seem to have fell off. They was 11-0. They're now 11-3. I think this is the second or third lowest projected game on the slate, and the Colts are favourites. Pittsburgh haven't really got much of an offense going at the moment. They don't seem to have a running game. I know James Conner's been injured. Benny Snell, he did okay on Monday. But yeah, I haven't really got any faith in Benny Snell. And the pass catchers, I mean, JoJo seems to be more interested in dancing than catching footballs. And Deontay is a great player. He's probably a good player this week, actually. I think he's like 6,300. But he gets lots of targets, but he drops balls. And yeah, I just feel like I can see the Colts reaching our double digits again. Big Ben is just not looking the same. I think on Monday, was it like 170 yards in a pick and one touchdown? It wasn't great. And he, just to pass the eye test when you look at him, he just doesn't look good. I got to be honest, I think he's on a kind of on his way out. So yeah, I fancy the Colts. I feel like they'll reach double digits. I like the Colts this week.
Yeah, I really like them as well, if I have that money left over.
They're not cheap. They're 3,200. Mm. So yeah, it's not too, like, we've seen some of the elite defenses this year at like around 4,500. Then you have got to give up on a skill position player kind of thing. But at 3,200, I feel like with some of the good value plays we've identified, hopefully I'll be able to get them in. But yeah, I like the Colts.
It's amazing how the Steelers were 11-0, and in the way that they've, it's not even like, I wouldn't even say it's a decline, because it's almost like a giant step down and they've stayed low.
Yeah,
it's just staggering, really.
Well, they were really unlucky, I think, because they lost a couple of big defensive players, and I feel like all year they was just relying on that defense, because their offense hasn't been there pretty much all year. They was just relying on a big that big performance from the defense every week. And like, you will never be able to take away from like a Mike Tomlin coached team. They're always going to be well coached. They're always going to be up for it. They're always going to be capable of winning games. But Ben is just not firing. He's just not there. He doesn't look the same. I know he's in decline. So yeah, I feel like Ben's on his way out. That's kind of why I'm attacking Pittsburgh this week.
It's crazy that their offense is misfiring with all the offensive weapons they have. They've got so many riches, and it's just nuts. But there you go. So normally this time of the show, me and Nick would pick our tiers lineup for this week, but actually our tier season is over, because last week I scored 180 points, and I was so pleased and arrogant almost that I scored 180 points, because the week before, David, I scored 174 or something like that. And I lost. Now, 174 is usually going to win you a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a good
and score. I lost against him by 4 points. So this week I scored 180 points. I was like, this is the week. I'm bringing it back. It turns out Nick scored 184 points.
Wow.
So he's truly the king of tiers.
Well done, Nick.
I think Nick should probably do his own pod specifically on tiers with those sort of consistent scores. So he's 5-2 up on the series season, and that's it. The season's done. Anyway, David, thank you very much for stepping in for Nick. It's been absolutely fantastic. I hope you've enjoyed it.
It's been a pleasure.
As we always say on this, at the end of this pod, remember, these are just our opinions. It's your money. It's up to you to gamble responsibly. But more importantly, it's up to you to draft responsibly. Happy Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
HIV epidemic is not over. HIV is still here.
The face of HIV is so diverse.
The biggest thing to reduce HIV stigma is just to talk about it. Testing and PrEP and HIV treatment and how effective it is today.
Undetectable equals untransmittable. Whether you're positive or negative, there's not a wrong door. Whether it's testing or whether it's treatment, do it for you, Montgomery County.
Learn more about HIV testing, treatment, and prevention at doitforyoumc.org.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.